you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast. I am your host, Sarah Herron, and I am joined by someone who I'm sure you know if you follow Bachelor Nation outside of what plays out on screen, which I think most of you do. He has a very successful YouTube channel. He's launching a podcast, and I have a lot of questions about his journey into the Bachelor Nation world. And, you know, when I see one of my interviews pop up on his channel, I have a combination of excitement because I got good juice and terror because I'm scared of what him and his followers are going to say about how I asked the question and all of that. But Dave Neal, how are you?
Oh, good to see you. I'm great. I love when you interview people. You're always the kindest. It always feels like you're in someone's living room when you talk to the contestants.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. It's definitely a balance of trying to ask them invasive personal questions, but also not wanting them to hate me.
Yeah. And I totally can understand that. Yeah, exactly. You have to not only do well on each interview, but then want people to talk to you in the future. So I don't have that luxury. So I get to just watch from the third person point of view.
Yes. Plus the pressure of the network who I want to work with me, but also I can't just pretend that they're always right. So it's a delicate balance, but I love when you cover Us Weekly interviews or any other interviews because you can be so candid and funny and say things that maybe some of us can't say because we're trying to balance those relationships, if that makes sense.
Thank you. I really try my best to talk about or to people as if I'm going to see them in person again, because I think we need more of that in society. We need some accountability for what we say.
100%. And I want to get into everything that's happening on the show and in general, but I'm just curious because you're a comedian and I want to know how you kind of started going into covering this show on YouTube and now on your podcast and how you kind of transitioned into, have you always been like a huge Bachelor fan or was it just like the best for clicks?
No, absolutely. I've actually watched the I've recapped the show for over 7 years now. Wow. And it didn't click. It didn't really gain much attention until I dove away from what was happening on the show. So I've always been fascinated by social media, YouTube, building your own brand. I've done that with stand up and other podcasts I've hosted. So when things started to work, when I was actually surprised that people cared about the behind the scenes dealings of Claire and Dale. That was one of the first videos, or Clayton Eckerd was the big video that took off. Colton Underwood, excuse me, took off.
Commonly confused.
Yeah. And I'm the worst here, but he took off because no one was reading, or I know some people were, but no one was really discussing how wild his restraining order story was. Mm-hmm. So that video just took off and I go, oh, there's clearly a market here for people that want to have conversations that they're not getting from maybe the mainstream crowd.
Yeah, 100%. What has surprised you about kind of your coverage and what does well and what doesn't? Because I think it's fascinating. People always wonder like why we cover certain things and we don't at Us Weekly. And I'm like, at the end of the day, it comes down to the numbers. Someone like Claire, she can like wear an outfit and it'll crush. Someone else on the franchise just doesn't perform and we only have limited resources. So that's why we cover certain things and don't. And I feel like sometimes people read into it more. And most of the time it's one, because the spoilers, we try to balance with that with the network, but also just like who our audience clicks on. Like if they don't click, they don't click. So for you, have you found any interesting patterns?
Absolutely. And you look at the algorithms when YouTube, you call it the click-through rate. Look at it like a sports analogy. If a sports team wins 40-0, there isn't much to talk about the next day on sports talk radio. But if they won 40-38 and the ref made a call that was like, did he touch the line or didn't he? That's what happens in Bachelor Nation. Was this gaslighting? Wasn't it? Did this person do what the other's accusing them? Whenever we actually get the answer, Tayshia and Zach are broken up, the story's dead after you get a couple interviews.
Right.
But are these flowers for him? You know, when you start getting into this sort of like X-Files territory here, that's what really makes the audience want to talk. The more people comment on the videos, the more YouTube's like, all right, bring this to the front of the line. So definitely controversial stuff. I try my best. My thumbnails, my titles might start a fire, and then I try to put it out with the content. I try to say, okay, Aaron Clancy's not the worst. Genevieve Parisi didn't get enough sleep. These aren't horrible human beings. Mm-hmm. We have no idea how we would react in that heightened circumstance ourselves.
100%. And I feel the same way in writing. I mean, I think I'm decent at like the master of not too clickbaity, but clicky. And I try to lean into like the quotes and blame it on the people. Like they used that word, even if they get upset. But sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, all right, I went too far there. Like I should have maybe toned that one down.
And if you don't catch yourself going too far, you're either not doing good enough, you'll get fired, or you go too far and no one's going to believe you. It's a tight needle to thread. And you totally understand. Yeah. It's like, give the quote. And again, we're not talking about like Middle East relations.
Right.
News. It's like, we don't want you never want us. Like I always tell my audience, look, I'm going to give you the information. It's never going to be as salacious as you think for the most part. And let's just treat them as humans. Talk to me. Don't go to them. Don't go into their DMs. That's just psychotic when people do that.
It's so nuts. And I feel like it's funny because all the Bachelor in Paradise contestants have been tweeting that over these last couple of days. And I'm kind of not, I believe them that they're getting the backlash, but I feel like no one's really talking about this season. So the fact that people aren't talking about it that much, but then they're still getting like that much hate, it's like, oh God, like what are people doing?
Yeah. And isn't it wild? You might have 10, 12 episodes where it's just like, it's almost like watching a movie where nothing happens for 90 minutes and then it's got the best ending. And you're like, oh, I guess it was worth it.
Right.
It happened with Rachel and Gabby where it was like, what's really happening here? And then all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, I think we got our money's worth at the end. Bachelor in Paradise has a little bit of drama. But as you know, there's like, you know, if you look at the whole season as like a 3 or 4 act play, the first act, you're going to have the Cassidy, Tim Brooks, who are like sort of a villain, but also like it wasn't that big of a deal. The real villains come when it's like Tino and Rachel cheating scandal. That's when you get to like the big heavy stuff when the hearts opened up. And we probably haven't seen that yet on Bachelor in Paradise to its full extent.
100%. And I want to just go into what's happening this week on Paradise and say that this will probably have some spoilers involved, which I go back and forth with spoilers because I read them because it's my job and I can't avoid them. Sometimes I don't. And I have my, like I said, my own relationship with ABC and what we do on Us Weekly. And we've gotten in trouble, but we do it sometimes. I don't know. If someone's photographed together, there's nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean? Like if it's versus just running, you know, Reality Steve straight up reporting versus like, okay, if you step out together, that's not my fault. That's their fault. Is kind of how I go about it and trying to balance that delicate relationship and also for the audience. So I kind of wanted to jump in with this Victoria Fuller and Greg situation because I was actually out of the country last week and I'm getting all these DMs and I know you were probably on the front lines. I know Reality Steve was on the front lines. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about Victoria F and Greg being spotted in Rome? And also maybe tell me for you and like your process of when do you start like making a video about it and how do you go from there? Like, is it an immediate like drop what you're doing? Like, how do you, cause you get your stuff up really fast.
Oh, my wife knows if dinner's planned and the right video's coming, she's got to get out of the way. And she appreciates that. It's been a life changing, you know, sort of career that we've kind of gotten into here. So she understands that like sometimes when news breaks, we got to get it from a subway station or where, or I made a video the other day coming back from our wedding on it. And it was a few days after the wedding, but we were in.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. We were on an hour private shuttle from the hotel to the airport. And there was a video. I was like, I'm going to get this video up before I'm, you know, in bad airport Wi-Fi. Cause I knew if I didn't get it up now, it'd be 7 hours, this and that. Saturday morning, 2 weeks ago, I get a message that Victoria spotted in Rome with Greg Grippo. I didn't take the bait my first video, but I was still like, I'll make a video about it. My first video was, there's no way this is Greg, Johnny. It must've been Johnny. They have similar haircuts, you know, there's no way. And then because at that point it was just someone's TikTok and the TikTok didn't have any proof. And then the next photo that came out was sent to me. And that was someone walking from behind. And now we can see the height difference and we go, okay, chances are this person's not lying because they didn't want any credit. Whenever anything's on TikTok or Instagram as sort of like a clout chasing moment, immediate like cynicism. This is probably not what we think it is. This person wanted zero credit. They said, I walked right by him. By the time I turned around to get a photo, this is what you saw. And it turned out that person was right. That was Greg Grippo. At that point, it was still, like I said, that water cooler moment. He said, she said, that lets the audience leave comments on who they think it is. No way, it's Greg. But then once we start looking into things in Bachelor Nation, we have literally hundreds of thousands of people in the community that will look through people's old messages, tweets, photos, and people started putting a timeline together of Greg and Victoria having both met and commented before, and you go, oh, maybe it is them. And then, of course, Reality Steve sends me a text message saying, I got the photo. This is it. And he was just waiting for his like watermarks to come because, I'm a commentary channel. I like to comment on what other people do. Please call me out if I ever make a video about you and I don't promote your channel. Okay. I always try to just comment on pieces of things so people can go get the full thing. So for Reality Steve, people have always talked a lot of trash about him and then use all of his content. So eventually he's like, I'm putting screen grabs up. You can take a moral stance on whether you like or don't like somebody, but if you're going to consume their content, there's like some integrity.
Give some credit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw these photos and that bought me about half an hour where I told my wife, all right, we got a story coming out. I'm going to go start on the thumbnail so it's ready to go. And then that was clear as day, Greg. It was clear as day. Some people still didn't believe it. Then the next subway photo, clear as day. And at that point it was like, okay, it's them. We now have their flight tracking info. Like, I'm all about tracking the story till it gets to the plate. Like if you're allowed to take a photo somewhere, like you said, if it's in public, anyone can take a photo, at least in the US, you know, yeah. Paparazzi, all these rules, unless it's someone's kid or whatever. But once you take photos into someone's private life, that's when it's like off limits. So they tracked it all the way back to Newark, New Jersey. I think it was them, you know, and crazy. Now it's just the question people are asking, which is, was there cheating? Was there emotional cheating? Obviously there's been sources on every angle that have spoken on their behalf saying it was and or wasn't. And chances are it's probably some weird gray area that's going to make the audience talk a lot about it.
Yeah. I mean, I have been pretty like over this season and covering it, but now I'm like, all right, I know that reunion tape's on Friday. I'm very intrigued to find out what will be said. Victoria's supposed to be doing press. Will she still do press? And that whole line, she did that Instagram in that black dress and Greg commented and deleted something ridiculous about how hot she looked or whatever. I don't know.
Good girl, I think.
Good girl. Oh God, that's so cringe, Greg. And it's also just interesting because Victoria Fuller is just one of those people I've been fascinated with since she joined the franchise, the obviously Chase Rice of it all. When she was dating Chris Soules in quarantine, that was like my favorite story ever because they were like at this random cafe that took a picture and like kind of blew up their spot. And I loved it. And we never got total closure on what happened there. And then for her to pop up in Paradise, I didn't see that coming. And now we're watching her on screen trying to debate between Johnny and Alex when we know that she's with Greg of all people. Like there's so many layers there.
Oh yeah. People thought it was Alex. And I'm like, Alex is so strong. We're talking two skinny white guys versus Alex, who's this like beast of a like olive skinned, gorgeous man. There's something I love contestants that show off their flawed colors because everyone's flawed. We get a lot of the pageant queens who don't give us many sound bites. And I don't even mean that with a gender. The guys do it too. And then we have people like Victoria who will get a little messy. I've always loved the Chad Johnsons. I love the people that will tell you, hey, this isn't real. I'm not going to tell JoJo I love her in episode 3. Like, I just love that. Now, obviously, everyone's got their own issues, whether it be PTSD or alcoholism, or everyone's got their own thing they're working on. Victoria's got a messy situation, but I love that she's been very supportive of Genevieve. She's been a good girl's girl on this season. But we also saw on Pilot Pete season, she like completely parlayed and turned around everything he said and used it against him to her convenience. She completely played the victim in the moment. So I'm assuming we're going to get a lot of that.
Yeah, I think so too. And even like her post back when she was like, thank you for the support, like obviously super sarcastic, which I can't imagine the kind of stuff she's been flooded with and the accusations, but kind of good for them. Like, I'm just really curious and I hope we get answers of when they met, how they met, and why Rome? Like, why did they go to the Trevi Fountain of all places? While they were trying to have the secret relationship.
The idea that the farther away they go, the more secret it'll be. Yeah, until people spot you. If they were at like a Phillies game, it would have been like, all right, maybe they're friends in town. But like now we're looking at like, oh, they probably coordinated this and that. And as far as Victoria's concerned, people can be great people, but very flawed in specific ways. It looks like she's got the friend card down. She doesn't have any beef with any of the other women versus almost someone like Shanae, who has her own issues. She's kind of hard to peg as well. But yeah. Shanae was good with some of the women until she wasn't. So she was good with women until she was in direct competition with them. And then it kind of triggered whatever kind of fight or flight moment there. So I look at all these different people as like, who are they as individuals? And then once they cross the line in whatever fights that they're having, all rules are gone. They're sleep deprived. They're hungry. They're probably drunk. Like, let's just not pretend that this is like their everyday life. They're not just at some grocery mart yelling at the cashier. If they did, we would break that story.
But yeah, we would know.
But like, let's just not pretend like everyone's trying their best with the information they have. And these are people usually in their 20s that haven't figured out how to communicate that well.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think with her on screen, I thought one of the things I wrote down is I love that Andrew S. compared Alex to Jimmy Garoppolo because he really is beautiful. And so is Jimmy G. But she ends up picking Johnny seemingly by the end of Tuesday's episode. And I think I feel like I saw a tweet that was like, she wishes she met Alex first. And I do kind of get that vibe because I feel like she's definitely into Johnny and attracted to him. But now she's like, doesn't want to look bad. And I don't know how much she really likes Johnny versus like, it's the better choice. But now that we know she's potentially with Greg, it feels so silly to even like dive in on.
Yeah. And then there's also the thought that people have had, was she waiting for Greg to show up?
Right.
It's obvious that you go on the show hoping for someone to show up. If you're someone like Michael, maybe he's waiting for Danielle to show up. They had already talked before, but it's like, it doesn't mean Sierra Jackson was a bad a match for him. It was just, this is who's here right now. I'm going to pursue this. This seems to be the first season we're seeing contestants really get called out for basically trying to do what's right for them, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think last year it was a lot about like, oh, the pre-planning of relationships. And now they're kind of openly admitting it by bringing Justin back down, which who knows if he actually had interest in Eliza, but bringing him back down to say, I was here for her is kind of breaking the wall a bit. Bringing Danielle down when they did kind of breaking the wall a bit. And you're right. They're saying what they want and getting in trouble for it. Whereas last year it was more of like, oh, you pre-planned this and now kind of like trying to take advantage of it, if that makes sense. But I did see you did a video about Danielle on whichever podcast she was on. And I didn't have a chance to listen to that or watch your video yet. But what was her like the sum of what she said about the Sierra Michael A, like people kind of coming for him?
Yeah, I got some early unsubscribes for the clickbait in that.
Really?
Well, she's very kind, but she was led, whether it was by Michael, she was led with them basically saying, look, if someone's just not into someone, they're not into someone.
Right.
And they were implying that Michael just wasn't that into Sierra, which is what everything boils down to.
Yeah.
The whole idea of like, oh, I'm not ready, all this. It's like, look, maybe he didn't think he was until the right one walked down. Like that's just kind of how it is. And then Danielle kind of doubled down and said, yeah, people, if someone's just not into you, then so be it, you know. But she didn't actively comment on Sierra. But she knows that she's in the position of like the chosen one after Sierra was dumped. And Michael's probably defended himself on social media more than anyone on the show has by saying, I broke up with her when she had the rose. This is another thing people take a hard stance on that are pro or anti Michael, but like, how else was he supposed to dump her? I don't know what a better dumping would have been than what happened, but
it is true with the rose of it all. I think he could have been a little more clear cut with it. I'm just not that into you. He played a little bit, in my opinion, into the, like, I'm not ready. And then magically was ready, but also they maybe cut out all the parts where he said, I'm just not that into you.
Yeah, that could be for sure. That could be like, look, there aren't many scenarios where men are breaking up with women. At least in my life, I don't think I've dumped anyone. Usually I'm the one being dumped. I'm married now. It's fine.
Yes,
but,
it's fine.
But so I don't know how I would be, but chances are, as the people pleaser that I am, I would be like, I'm an idiot. I'm the worst. Yeah. You deserve better. All that, all those platitudes that I might not actually believe, but we just live in this world with, which is why ghosting is so prevalent, where we don't want to hurt somebody. And we just don't, I mean, gosh, wouldn't we love to live in a time where someone was like, look, I want somebody who has this love language and you don't, like, you know, very specific. But I think if Michael did that, then there'd be a whole nother outroar happening. Yeah, I think it was kind of one of those, you're going to piss somebody off.
It's kind of giving Eric's text to those girls where he was just trying, he should have just said, I'm just not that into you and I'd rather go on the show. But instead he tried to like act like he was distraught about it when really he didn't care.
Exactly. I love this convo. You're like a PhD, you know, this is like next level, tying in Eric to it all. It's exactly the same. He's got some lady who's a mom, and God bless moms. My mom was a single mom, but he's mid 20s. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't want to be a stepdad.
No.
So he doesn't say, hey, I don't want to be a stepdad. He says, I don't really know. And then all of a sudden she sees him on TV, and who knows how that all plays out. But yeah. Yeah, we don't really live in a world where people say what they're thinking.
Definitely not. And I did want to touch on the Gabby and Eric of it all, because I'm sure you saw the clip from her Dancing with the Stars interview in which she was asked by Fox News, which is interesting. So normally the Dancing with the Stars junkets, I've been on them, you're usually in like a big room with a bunch of outlets on Zoom. So it's rare to be individually, like an outlet gets a chance to ask a question. So like Us Weekly will get, it'll be like 4 minutes, and Us Weekly will get one question. E! News will get a question. Page Six will get a question. And it's kind of, it's quick, and everyone kind of shares the footage. But like, if you ask the question, you can mark it exclusive kind of thing. But with this, she was holding the Fox News microphone, and it looked like she was kind of, they were asking her specifically. No one really picked up on this right away. So I thought that was interesting one, but they asked her straight up, are you still together? Cause she hasn't been wearing the ring. And instead of just saying yes, she gave this kind of weird, which it's very Gabby, I feel like, to not want to lie, but also then to kind of put herself in like a talking in circles situation. And she is, I think, a very genuine human, but she said, life is just really busy for both of us right now. So I understand their concern, but we're just kind of, you know, going forward with our individual interests and supporting each other from afar. So I think the big thing there is that the question was, are you still together? And there's no yes in that. But I also know that she was asked that, and then other press was told no questions about The Bachelor. So there was kind of some damage control being done there, from what I understand. So what was your take of this comment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if that was a pre-recorded podcast, the publicist comes in and says, cut that out. That's just and I don't even think it was live TV, right? But it was live enough.
It's crazy. Those Dancing with the Stars post-show interviews are like a mad dash. So there's not, who knows if a publicist was even listening to that one, because it's like there's 1,000 in a row. But yeah, you're right.
And if the publicist is 5 feet behind, they don't pick up on it. But of course, our trusty Bachelor audience is like, whoa. And again, like everything, I'm the first to be like, oh, this is nothing, because we had so many videos about Zach and Tayshia, and like, you can, every single lead, there are going to be videos about, are they broken up yet, Rachel and Matt, every single time, so that you kind of, you almost don't want to be the boy who cries wolf, but this is like, okay, this is something that, like, he hasn't been on the show in 3 weeks. We know he's in town, we know he's got nothing better to do. They both seem like good people trying their best. I know that there's a segment of our audience that doesn't want to give them any grace whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I look forward to hearing them both talk more candidly on podcasts about all of the sort of different things that were thrown into the mix on the season. I mean, his dad just died.
Yeah.
And she was a intensive care nurse. So she's dealt with end of life, and like, what a beautiful story that she got to meet his father. And they had such a beautiful story there, that if they can't make it work because she's on a dancing show, obviously it would be more than that, but you do only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
And it could be a scenario where like the spark just didn't get the proper fuel to go to that next level. And there also could be bitterness. She's someone who just came off of the highlight of her career, and she's only being asked about her fiance's mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, we really don't know. I know personally, like where I'm at, Gabby's in a super high anxiety situation with Dancing with the Stars. Could there be a scenario where she just doesn't want the guy to be there because she wants to put her full attention into feeling these emotions with the dancer? Maybe, but that's hard to believe at this point.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, though. I kind of took it as the supporting each other from afar, because he did do the Instagram story, like encouraging her to vote, which again, because there's so much pressure of everyone, it's insane the way people track, like whether they liked the photo or how often they post, like God bless them, but like, it's crazy. And so maybe she was also trying to get ahead of that. Like they're trying to maybe make sure they're still planting some seeds so people aren't speculating, or maybe they don't care and this is just genuine. But I also would always think about the Dancing with the Stars of it all. If you look at the track record, the people who go on Dancing with the Stars after, the relationship ends shortly after a lot of the time. And I always think back to, I've read every Bachelor book for better or for worse because of this job. And I think back to Sean Lowe's book, and he has a whole like section about how Dancing with the Stars was such a mistake because he went from Catherine finally won him, which whatever, he didn't say it like that, but like they're finally alone. And then he goes to spend all his time with this single, you know, hot dancer, which was PETA at the time. And when you go on Dancing with the Stars, it's the same thing. So maybe they're like on pause-ish, like for Dancing with the Stars, so she can focus on that because he's in LA, he lived there already, but he's sitting there. She's busy all hours of the day with another guy for whatever, take that for what you will. And he's just sitting there waiting. So I think that I always think back, I remember Chris Soules and Whitney broke up right after Dancing with the Stars, Nick and Vanessa broke up right after Dancing with the Stars. Like it's not good for the relationship in any sense, but like good for her because she's killing it on Dancing with the Stars. So I'll be curious, like you said, to hear their side, but I think we're going to get some sort of breakup before the end of the year, if I had to guess.
Yeah. And like, is there any benefit? I know people have talked about this. Is there any benefit to not announcing the breakup while she's on the show for voting purposes? Because I think if they break up, people are going to want to root on single Gabby just as much as if they're together. You know, I'm not really sure the benefit there other than just not wanting to deal with that distraction, or I guess the publicity of it all might be like, wait till you're done with all the batch of all the Dancing with the Stars fame, and then you'll have a new storyline, which is always good for staying relevant.
You'll have a new story. And if you don't want to ask, I mean, like I said, their press are warned not to ask about it, but that didn't stop the Fox News person, or maybe they weren't told that until after, but maybe all her post-interview questions where she wants to talk about Arumba will be asked about Eric. So maybe that's why, but it'll be interesting to see going forward if she'll continue kind of doing that press line and if whatever, because of what's happened. And I know that the network hasn't commented on her comments yet, and she can't necessarily say what she wants to say without their approval right now anyway, because she's under a very strict contract. So
exactly.
Very interesting.
But if they wanted to, they could for sure be posting an Instagram story. I know Zachary Reality said his sources spotted them at Laugh Factory at a comedy show the other night. So, you know, they could be in a scenario. I don't believe it, but it could be a scenario like a Rachel Lindsay, Brian scenario where they're like, we don't need to give this audience anything else.
True.
We know Matt James and Rachel Kirkconnell had a lot of issues. They broke up after the show, but he didn't even want on the After the Final Rose to give an answer that gave them anything, because they took, you know, his core essence and monetized it and used it against him. So I don't think Gabby was really wronged that way, where she would want to treat the show as like I'm not going to give them anything, so we're not going to share it. But you know, you never know. You never know how they feel about it. They could very well want to protect their relationship as much as possible, but that does, you know, not wearing the engagement ring and all these other clues, it's probably a 90% chance this thing's done.
Yeah. And it's the ABC and the ABC of it all. So it is Dancing with the Stars and, you know, The Bachelor are all ABC and Warner Brothers and the same kind of group of people. So that also makes it interesting. But Matt and Rachel, that's an example of one that, you know, they didn't break up, whatever, but it was a while after they broke up and got back together, but then he did Dancing with the Stars. So I think they were in a secure place, because I was just saying that they all break up. So before people come for me, they didn't break up.
Right. Well, that's a good example. Like they had time to let the dust settle. And when the dust settles is when you really get to see the damage. When the dust settles, whether they're on Dancing with the Stars or not, the press junkets, when everything goes back to reality, am I compatible with this person? When we're not being fed these amazing European vacations and all these other things. And that's what, you know, when it's time to go back to work is when you learn a lot about the relationship. Who's going to put the job first, and how do you manage having all these different things going on, which makes it incredibly interesting with Gabby and Eric, because I don't think either of them have a traditional job right now. So they really, you know, could afford to make this happen. So we'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to see. It's a very interesting show, because they fall in love under circumstances that would never happen in real life. And then the real world is when they really should be running the cameras. That's 100%. What we don't get to see. So that's our like job.
As fake as Ben and Lauren Happily Ever After was, there were cracks there, and there was something to be said for that show and the cameras continuing to follow them. So I would love if they made them do like the Love is Blind, like reunion show or like whatever, and they followed them, but it would not be good for anyone besides us. Yeah. Getting back to On the Beach, just a few storylines I wanted to touch on. What did you think of the Justin, Eliza, Rodney of it all? I mean, Eliza kind of did that classic thing of she wanted to hear something, but she, I think Rodney handled it perfectly fine. I guess he could have been a little bit stronger in his convictions of her not wanting to go, but I think he was just trying to be a nice guy. And I think it's going to bite him in the butt because it seems like she's picking Justin, almost like the shinier object was in front of her kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone's been in a relationship. I know I have, where you got to let the other person make their choices, because I think, and I can't speak for anybody else here, but I'll try. But I think everyone's been in a controlling relationship. So like, I know with my wife, like I could never be like, don't do that. She'll be like, I want to do that. You know, from the way people are raised as like the oldest sibling, the dad never let them do things. And now they don't want to be told what to do. Everyone's got their own scenario where they were told not to do something. And Rodney's like, look, I'd rather you not go, but I don't want to stop you, like, because then he's going to be the bad guy for a different set of reasons. So
yeah,
I think he's like most guys that are in a scenario where like they're like, look,
okay, picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I can't bench press my way out of this one, as they say. I can't muscle this situation. I have to say, look, if Johnny, you know, Johnny's got to let Victoria go on a date with Alex. Logan's got to let Kate go on a date with, you know, Hayden. You just got to let it happen and hope that you can stand alone as like the better choice. I just wonder how none of these conversations have gotten, like none of the relationships have gotten defined beforehand. Are there, right. The show, and it would make sense if the producers didn't want them to do this, but they don't want them to have all the answers before they're confronted with one of these scenarios, because then you get Eliza, who seems to maybe she felt guilty that Rodney, that like she was choosing to go on with Justin. So maybe she whipped it around on Rodney. I'm not really sure, but I think Rodney handled it as best he could.
I think so too. And I think you're right. Also on the show, it's a lose-lose, because if he says don't go, everyone's like, it's the point of the show. How dare he try to rob her of her experience, which is a line that they love. But if he then kind of backed off, she was like, oh, he doesn't care about me. So he couldn't really win. And I think he did say he didn't want her to go to some degree. But I also think she, you know, I don't blame her. It was exciting. Justin, from what she was told, showed up for her. So that's something, again, like who knows? And I think Justin's hard for me to read, because I think everybody loved him. He's so funny on, you know, on Katie season with the facial expressions and even his first go around. But then, and you have Genevieve, who's jaded, obviously, but kind of implying that he maybe isn't that great of a guy. I don't know if it's the Sally of it all or whatever she went through, but they're almost setting it up like he's the villain now. But like, do we blame him for then wanting to come back for more TV time? Is it about Eliza? I don't know.
Yeah. Justin can be the quote unquote villain if that's what they want him to be. But anyone else in that position probably would have gone back, get the extra couple paychecks, stay a little relevant longer. I don't judge him whatsoever at this point. You know, it was interesting when Andrew was asking about Justin's date with Eliza. He's like, so how'd it go? And Justin's like, well, we made out under the fireworks. And Andrew was like, oh, there were fireworks. Oh, boy. That was like, this is real. They brought out the explosives here. So that's how we knew it was a little bit more than maybe a dud. If you look back to Victoria, when she went on a date with I think Victoria went on a date with Justin earlier.
Yeah,
they didn't share any of it, which means it probably didn't go anywhere, and they wanted to kind of play like, well, maybe it did. They didn't show much of Victoria and Alex either. They had some making out, but there wasn't that fireworks moment that we saw with Justin and Eliza. So that really does mean that Justin's you know, who Eliza chooses, if any of them make it out, I have no idea. But as Rodney said, the damage is done. I think there's no coming back from that sort of like doubt of like where we stand.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things she'll probably watch it back and realize, oh, he did kind of say what I wanted him to hear, but in the moment I didn't hear it. And if depending on whether she's with either of them, could be a little of like, oh, maybe I should have stuck with Rodney, but who knows? We'll find out. Genevieve and Aaron, it's kind of turned into their show a little bit, which they have taken to social media and have told kind of different stories. But based on what you saw on these two episodes specifically, what is your take on them? Because I just think they don't like each other very much and they want to so badly to be on this show. But like they need to speak different languages.
It's like a house burnt down and we're looking for the match, you know, yeah. like in order to properly untangle these Christmas lights, where do we begin? Their communication styles aren't great. I will say this. Genevieve came up to him and said, I just wanted to talk. And then he was like, well, let me see if it works for me.
Right.
And he kind of had this whole defensive moment. But if you rewind there, he ends up breaking down because he's bitter, because he's like, look, I just want to be able to play volleyball with my buddies. I want to be able to kiss my girlfriend. I want to be able to do all this without fighting. So he's completely worn down by Genevieve. And I think Genevieve would admit she's worn down as well from just being on the beach.
Yeah.
That, you know, she's scared of spiders and crabs.
She's been there since the beginning too. So she's kind of gone through every emotion.
Oh, she's on mile 25 of the marathon. She's just done. And then they have this toxic fight. But in the end, I did love that he did break down and shared what he was truly feeling. Like, I just want us to get along. Now, it doesn't mean he acted right in the lead up to that. In the lead up to him sharing his emotions, he had to act out against her. So they both were like guilty of just not bringing their best self, like most fights in a relationship are. And then through breaking down, I know this is boring for people, but through breaking it down, they both made up and shared their true feelings, which was that they were falling for each other. Now we're getting the post-show tweets where she says, what you see is what you got. And he's saying, come on, they shoot 40 hours a week. That's not exactly what happened. And the truth is somewhere in between.
It's just so funny that because everything you said is right. And then they take to social and have the exact opposite take the same way. So it just goes to show these are two people who would never, ever be able to make it work because they see life very differently. He wrote, guys, truly not the combo at all. And she wrote, nothing relevant to the argument was cut out. What you saw is what happened. And then they're just literally like saying opposite things. And he said, guys, reality TV is not reality, but it is actually on TV, like 40 hours of filming a week condensed into 4 hours. You see just a small part, but she's saying, you know, I was never mad. I was upset, yada, yada. Like they just are on totally different things. And I don't think either of them are gaslighting each other. I think they're just both speaking different languages.
Oh yeah, totally. If he didn't accuse her of gaslighting, it'd be a much more like sort of nuanced convo, but like clearly, I think Victoria said it, they subtitled it afterwards where she was like, he's an idiot. He's just using buzzwords. He doesn't know what it means. And I'm like, welcome to everyone who watches the show. Like every clinical therapist, psychologist I talk to says that people are getting it wrong when they accuse each other of gaslighting. It's dangerous to use words when we don't know what they mean, but I do give them the benefit of the doubt that they were both trying their best. He saw it, the way he saw it isn't the way Genevieve was given it, but he saw it as like no matter what he could do to provide like happiness in the relationship, the equation didn't equal, like it never came that way. They could never get the formula down, and it doesn't mean that it's her fault at all. They, like you said, their languages were just off. I'm the type who believes we don't have to have matching love languages. We just have to learn how to transform someone else's love language into ours. My wife doesn't know how to support me with words of affirmation. She does it in different ways, and that used to really bum me out because I'm a comic. All I want is an audience to laugh.
Right.
All I want is that pat on the back that I didn't get as a kid, like everyone else wants whatever they didn't get as a kid. So I've had to learn to see the way she gives her love. And then in hindsight, I've had to learn how she wants to be loved and give her that. My wife doesn't want words of affirmation. She got those her whole life. She was a pretty woman walking down the street. She was used to like that doesn't mean anything to her. So I've had to give her quality time and learn different things. And I think a good relationship can learn how to sort of mend each other's love languages into a greater sort of like love pond. This relationship, it just wasn't going to happen on the beach if it ever does. Sometimes people will spend 70 years fighting and they're in love, and maybe that's toxic. I don't know. But yeah, this wasn't it.
No, it wasn't it. And it's not going to happen where they're going to make their love languages, you know, work together when they're, you know, on the beach drunk and he just wants to play in the pool with his boys. And I also think their fight on Monday's episode about the Justin of it all was interesting, because I think Genevieve really was just like trying to be like good reality star, like give the recap, talk to Wells and kind of do the narration thing. And he took that as her like still being hung up on Justin, which I don't think she is. I think she was just trying to like be a good reality star, be a good Bachelor in Paradise contestant at the bar with Wells giving the recap. And he took that as you only like me because you didn't have Justin, which I don't think that's true.
Yeah. You know, Wells is so, it's so fun to have him there because he kind of gives the audience like us, like a representative. So my favorite part, I think it was Monday night's episode, was when I believe Aaron stormed off and Wells goes, oh, he's perfectly fine. And Genevieve's like, no, he's really mad. And I was like on Wells. I wouldn't have picked up on it either. We, you know, but like Genevieve knew, oh, this is going to lead to something. Wells like, what are you talking about? No way. And turns out she was right. May call it woman's intuition or what? Or maybe it was super obvious, but like Wells is like the rest of us where he's just like, I'm serving drinks and I have no idea where this chaos is coming from.
What a gig. What a great gig that he's got going for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he earned it. You know,
he
deserves it.
He does a great job. Other random notes I had from the episode, we can just go through these. And if anything is interesting to you, I did write Aaron is so tan and hotter now. Not that that matters, but his tan really stood out to me.
And and stronger, by the way. He's like one of the few that's getting like more strong on the beach. I'd be the opposite.
100%. Oh my God. I could never be on that show for endless reasons. But the fact that after like one day of vacation, I feel like I look like I've been to war. The rose ceremony, we find out that Sarah left over a family emergency. She has said on Instagram that it was her grandmother dying, so that was sad, but didn't really affect the show. What did you think about the drama of that they were kind of trying to stir, seemingly producer driven, of like the OG girls and the new girls being messy in the women's quarters?
Well, like the writer in me goes, wow, they really don't have a story right now. They really don't have much if they're worrying about like if the duvet covers, you know, pulled off the bed or whatever. But those are just like the C-list stories that kind of bridge between the big fights, and the show has to create something on the spot sometimes because they're waiting for things to happen. So I would watch the documentary of the war room where they sort of try to be like, okay, well, we got new people. They didn't really take the bite on their Casa Amor switch.
Right.
So like, what else? Well, they're not clean. I don't know. I mean,
production trying to get revenge because they had to like hire an extra cleaner because they really were that messy.
Yeah. And it's like, you're already working on like non-union rules. The show's making a fortune off of them getting chump change, like getting to hire an extra cleaner.
I also thought it was just kind of dumb. I mean, it was dumb for a lot of reasons, but then they didn't even follow up. Like, they kind of tried to set this up. And then by the end of Tuesday's episode, we never even circled back on who was messier. Not that it matters, but I don't like when they throw things out there and then just for no reason, like at least set that up because maybe one of the girls got into a fight over it or something. Like, give me payoff.
Yeah, like where are the ants coming from? You know, ants don't just show up one day. Maybe they were already knocking at the door. We don't know.
This is important. Was someone sabotaging someone else and put like, I don't know, food in the room? Was there shrimp involved? All that dumb stuff. Hayden arrived and he spent six figures on his dog to live longer. And then as the internet keeps saying, only to leave several times to go on reality television. What is your take on Hayden?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, my take was the same as like, if you remember Thomas, he would always say how tall he was. Mm. And it became this like funny thing where he mentions how tall he is. I think Hayden is like anyone else. He's got his own insecurities. And when he meets somebody new, he's like, I got a dog, because he's learned that when he says he has a dog, women respond kindly. I have a dog. Look, I can raise an animal. I'm a decent human being. That's what he's trying to do, which works fine at the bar when you meet someone for the first time. When a show has two seasons worth of editing, you saying that to multiple people, it can get kind of old. If they edited me meeting 50 people, they might get 30 clips of me talking about my basset hound and how much his stomach surgery costs and we love him to death and this and that. So whenever anyone uses whatever they have to their advantage to charm somebody, I don't hold it against them. He didn't have the luxury of watching Gabby and Rachel's season playback.
Good point.
So he's coming hot off the beach. He's like, all right, I got the dog. I got Rambo. And then sure enough, you know, we find out he's already been called out for sort of, you know, using Rambo as his, you know, sort of tool for a conversation. But, you know, that's what people do.
You're right. It is huge when they don't have a chance to watch themselves back. I think that might be how we're seeing Shanae get a little bit of her redemption, too, because she did watch and see. And they're helping her. They're setting her up for success. I mean, she's been on a million dates and her and Genevieve have been able to make it work. And I think that's something to root for. But with Hayden, he doubling down on what he said about Gabby and Rachel was not a good look. So I agree with you with the dog thing. I think that's innocent enough. But by kind of explaining to Kate or whoever it was about the what happened with Gabby and Rachel, and at first he was kind of like, you know, I didn't say it the way it was. But then when he was like, but they weren't there for the right reason, whatever, like that was like, all right, dude, if he watched it back and had a chance to, I don't think he would have said that because he would have seen how people had reacted to him questioning them.
Yeah, it's that whole idea of like call it locker room talk where it's not, you can't defend it. You're just like, man, does this guy not realize he's on TV?
Right.
You know, like if he's not getting the attention from Gabby and Rachel and he's defensive and he's like, my ex was hotter than them. That's not good to say. That's not good to say. But will somebody say that? I mean, everyone, you know, someone might get dumped by this guy. Oh my gosh, he wasn't worth my time. I've dated hotter, you know, whatever. Absolutely. But when it's on TV like that, it's like, oh geez. Oh boy. And again, he probably wouldn't have maybe dug so deeply if he had watched how it played out.
Yeah.
But as far as with regards to what we see, Hayden gave enough for there to be red flags. When they bleep out words, I don't trust the show that they're bleeping out. Like he might have said, I've dated hotter women, but if they bleeped out women, we're like, what did he say? He dated hotter bitches. Like right. We don't know what he said, but again, I can't use that against him because I know the show will do whatever they can to make it look a certain way. But Hayden's dug enough holes for himself, and Kate, it was easy for her to be like, oh, this is what I mentioned it on my recap. It's like when a restaurant has a bad Yelp review and you're like, the food's perfectly fine. And then all of a sudden there's, you know, a hair in it and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. Now I understand.
Yes, that's so true. The only other thing I had written down about the episode was the twins arriving, which was whatever. Flo and Shanae kind of take the bait and go out with him. Logan jokes Shanae. I didn't know Shanae liked younger guys. She's 30. Logan's 26 and the twins are 24. What do you think of the twins? Do you think, you know, it makes sense they brought them on the beach, but I feel like this is all just, you know, bluff.
Oh yeah. It's not going to lead to any proposals, but I absolutely loved the energy they brought. I can totally see why they were cast on the show in the first place, because there they are, 23, 24. And they're like, all right, Victoria, come over here. It's like, in what world does he think he has a chance with Victoria? And, I was really hoping that they would get to the date part. I was kind of worried that no one would go on a date with him. Yeah. Then Shanae and Flo are like, all right, fine. It's like, why are we pretending that they're like 90 years old? Grocery store Joe and Kenny are, I think they're 40 and they both ended up with a 25-year-old. True. 15-year difference. We're talking about a 6 to 8 year difference here. They're all adults. It's not going to lead to anything, but I actually really enjoyed watching them have their little burrito rolling fun. And they started kissing and I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, I think if I had to guess, Shanae and Flo felt like their pressure was off to find love. They knew they weren't going to find any. Let's just kiss a couple of guys and have fun. That's how I saw it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it was fun. And I think Flo, it was nice to get to know her a little bit because she's just kind of been there. And they haven't really given us any backstory on her, which makes it hard to not that you're not rooting for her, but like you're not actively because we don't know her. And we just know she was on Bachelor in Paradise Australia with Jared, actually. But they didn't even get into that when Jared was there, which felt like a waste.
I love having the interbreeding here of Bachelor Worlds. Alex was on Bachelor in Paradise Canada last year. Yeah. He's done Australia. He's been all over. I think they need more of this. And I wanted to bring this up earlier. It's almost like how Dancing with the Stars is now on Disney Plus. It might lose some audience that won't go to Disney Plus, but it's going to gain this international crowd there. Kind of like how Blake Horseman went on All Star Shore on Amazon. Yeah, not everyone's going to watch it here, but he's got a fan base in Brazil, Mexico, the UK. I got to find out who Gordy Shore was or Jordy Shore. So this international world of streaming is way bigger than the US. If the show ever does make it to streaming, which it will, it'll open up the doors to having more of Australia's all-stars mingling with the US. I think it could be just like a Bachelor in Paradise all-stars. It would be just fantastic to watch. But we're still stuck in this like old school terrestrial TV thing. It's such a dying world that they live in.
I agree. I think what's wrong with this season, there's a few things, but I think the main thing is they're not real. They're tried to change the show with the Casa Amor thing, but they didn't do it right. And then they still go back to the same old tropes. And at this point, like this show has to evolve in some way because we've seen the same thing over and over again. And instead of evolving, they just ordered more episodes somehow to make this longer just to torture us. But I was like the biggest fan of Bachelor Winter Games. And I think that would be a great way on like a streaming service to then bring them all together and throw them in like a winter game scenario. Cause one, also there was more to do because they did have to do these competitions, kind of like almost like a less obviously hard, easier version of the challenge. But then there was like real relationships there and it made things happen. And then we have language barriers, we have new people to meet, and then you can do more spinoffs. And I think that they should bring something like that back on a streamer with all different kinds of Bachelor people.
Absolutely. And the only reason, as far as I can understand, knowing like the back end things, is that ABC would rather have a TV show on at 8 p.m. on Mondays. It could gain more money and bigger audience if they put it on streaming, but then they have to fill another show and they can't do like the youngest Sheldon. I mean, how many more Sheldons can they find, right? Yeah. So they're living that world where they got to sell Downy wipes, and it's just so bogus. And then, but like I said, when you watch Dancing with the Stars on Disney Plus, find me somebody who doesn't prefer the new format. It's amazing. They need to win an Emmy for live TV. They shoot a 90-minute episode with no commercial breaks. You get to find out more about the Paso Doble. There's mistakes that they can't cover up. I think it's fantastic for those that are actually watching it.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, like, Tyra gives me life. Like, every time she flubs something, or she comes out in this ridiculous costume, or has something good happen, she's the star, in my opinion, of that.
There'll be like a scene where like someone talks about their spouse dying, and I'm like, how's Tyra gonna make this about her? Because she will. Tyra's gonna spin this one around. And
And the dancers always look so confused. Charli D'Amelio this week was like, what are you asking me? Like, they can't hide it anymore.
Yeah. It's brutal. But like, she's a producer on the show. Oh, justice for Tom Bergeron there.
But, I know. He really did get screwed.
America's grandfather got
Alfonso is like, how did I end up in this situation?
Yeah. Oh, I love Alfonso. Alfonso and Tom Bergeron would be a fantastic combo, but this is what they give us.
No, it's so good. And my other favorite thing is every time Tyra blames the producers, she's like, they're in my ear. They're in my ear. They said the name wrong. In my ear. It's like, Tyra, like, relax. Like, you don't even have the commercial break anymore. And we're still somehow going over time half the time. We're like cutting people off. Like, it makes no sense, but it's genius television.
Oh, and these camera guys, they followed her when they should have been on Alonzo. And there's some honest mistakes, but you could totally tell that they're probably going to try to sabotage her. But she's a lot better than last year. If you want to look for positives.
She is. She can read the teleprompter now. Which, like, no shade. I would be horrible at that job. But, and like, she makes it's Tyra. Like, you're still rooting for her. It's just funny.
I gotta say, I've done crowd warm up for TV shows. They'll have like a comic tell jokes or whatever. It is wild when you're supposed to be talking and someone's in your ear telling you what to do. So I totally respect when you see reporters just do like a blank stare to the camera because they're hearing something, and like, the body's not meant to do two things at once, but the good people figure it out, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, Dave, I could talk to you forever. Clearly, I feel like we covered The Bachelor decently enough, and I'll let you go, but let everyone know when you post your videos. I feel like it's every 10 seconds. And about your new show and what they can expect from that and how they can listen.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, 3 to 4 videos, sometimes 7, depending on what's in the news on my channel. Just search Dave Neal on YouTube. And then I've got a non-Bachelor channel, The Dave Neal Show, for non-Bachelor commentary. But the new podcast is called Bachelor Rush Hour. It's meant to be live every single day at 5 p.m. East Coast, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Every day?
I'm going to do it every day. I'm already making the content on YouTube, so I'm just clipping it into audio form with a unique like 10-minute wrap-up, and that's it every day.
Genius. Wow. Well, I'll be listening for, again, if I have to leave the country or whatever, I'll be like, let me just see what Dave said is worth. And then I'll, you know, go do the research myself. And it was nice to finally get to talk to you, because I feel like I've been watching your content and reading, you know, following along with you guys. It's fun. It's very easy to, you, I always know who's who and what's doing what. And I do my best to try to clip back or, you know, whatever, but I'm happy I finally got to talk
well,
to you.
Well, thanks so much for having me. You're doing a great job. It's been a pleasure getting to watch your interviews, watching you interview the people that I'm not allowed to talk to. So thank you for that.
I do my best, and we'll see how the rest of this season shakes out. We have a reporter going to the live taping in LA, so hopefully we'll get some good stuff, but that'll also be under embargo. So for you guys, you'll hear from her when she gets back after all that airs, but a few more weeks left of Paradise and then we get a break. So hopefully something juicy happens in December so we have something to talk about.
Absolutely.
Bye, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, tell your friends about this podcast, and come back every week for more Bachelor breakdowns.